This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
I don't mean to smile, but the old Oracle was right, and we're going to talk about this saga, Biden dropping out, where is he, so much more. Buck Sexton is here. We have a huge show tonight on I'm Right. Oh, it is so good to be right back here with you doing I'm Right, and if only we had something to talk about tonight. You see, I realize there are huge stories out there between the assassination attempt, Joe Biden dropping out, Secret Service director testifying before Congress, and on a day like today, I'm sitting down, it's me, Matt, John, our producers, our production staff, we're trying to figure out how to put together a great show for you. We're talking about where do we begin? Where do you even begin with all these huge stories? So I thought the important thing was to keep the most important thing the first thing, all right? So without further ado, this is what I want to focus on first. Mr. Producer, write this one down, please. Joe Biden is not running for re-election. I am very, very sure about that. Joe Biden's not running for office again. The system is going to come to Joe Biden, and they're going to tap him on the shoulder, and they're going to say, Joe, we need you to go. Can't run. The system is going to force Joe Biden, maybe not to resign, but to not run again. They're going to force him to not run again because the system only has one purpose. You and I have talked about this a million times. What is that purpose? The system's only job is to protect itself. Sorry, I'm soaking it all in. I'm just soaking in the Oracle, doing what oracles do. Okay, no, all right, stop. I'm not going to be as obnoxious as you think I'm going to be. Let's just get down to the nitty-gritty. Why did I know that? Why have I been calling this for over 2 years, almost 3 years, I've been telling you this is the case? Well, let me explain. You cannot ever, ever, ever understand what you see, understand the why behind all the things that happen every day. You can never understand it until you understand and accept this. The system, that's what I call it. It's all the institutions in our society becoming corrupted and then working together now in their corruption. That's what I call the system. The system is large. It is communist for the most part. It is evil. And it is much, 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 much more powerful than any one man or any one position. Any one man or any one position, whether it be President of the United States of America, Republican or Democrat, it could be the richest man in the world. You could pick whoever you want. The system itself is more evil and more powerful than any one man. And the system only exists, as I said in that video, for one purpose, to protect itself. Its entire existence, everything it does, is all about protecting itself. Therefore, the system holds no fear of anybody, not real fear. And the system, more importantly for our purposes talking about Joe Biden, the system holds no loyalty to anybody else. I've given you this stat before, but it's true. When Pol Pot and his communists took over Cambodia, you know, there's always a central committee. They always try to sell it as, oh, we're run by a committee. The country's run by a committee. There was a central committee in Pol Pot's Cambodia. And there were 22 members of Pol Pot's Central Committee, the head communists who ran the country. And after 1 year, 18 of the 22 were dead. Corrupt, evil systems have no loyalty to anyone, presidents, senators, congressmen. They only exist to protect themselves. And Joe Biden has simply become a liability to the system. And that's why Joe Biden is gone. And so let's fast forward. Well, I mean, Joe Biden puts out a statement because we're about to do a little weird hypothetical here. So Joe Biden puts out a statement. This is more than 24 hours ago. More than 24 hours ago, the president of the United States of America announced he's not running again. Well, it's been my intention to seek re-election. I believe it is in the best interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my term. Now, Here's the question. Where is he? And you've heard all the rumors. Maybe you've taken part in all the rumors. Maybe he's really sick. What if he's dead? What if he's... But here, allow me to just do a little hypothetical before we move on to what the system's already doing when it comes to the successor. Because I'm going to spoil a couple things for you. But before we do that, here's something. Joe Biden... I was talking to my wife about this morning. Joe Biden is old and really, really not healthy. Anyone who's gone through this in their own life, maybe you've gone through this, they've seen this before. He's not healthy. He doesn't, look, I'm not wishing death on the man. He doesn't have 10 years left. We all know that. When you start declining like that, it's bad. So Joe Biden's already not in the best of health. Joe Biden disappears. They, of course, put out a statement that he has COVID, something like that. And we'll never know if that's true. This administration has lied about everything forever. So let's just say, and this is just a hypothetical, let's just say Joe Biden is sick, and that's why we haven't seen him on camera saying anything about not running again. Okay. Now, the rumors are already flying. You've heard them. I've heard them. And they're, who knows? But what if he is really sick? What if Joe Biden, God forbid, passes away before he can make a public statement? How does that look to the general public? It already looks like a palace coup where they very clearly did force Joe Biden out of the race. What if we never see Joe Biden speak again? What do you think the public's going to think happened there? And we're in the middle of this. This insanity is happening as I'm talking to you right now. And look, let me spoil something for everybody here. Because there's a bunch of people right now who are trying to turn this into some fascinating game of chess for Democrats to see who the heir apparent's going to be. Look, again, it's not your mommy's show, it's your daddy's show, so let me just give it to you right now. We don't have to do this, all right? It's Kamala Harris. Here's the deal. The system has already chosen Kamala Harris. The Clintons have lined up behind Kamala Harris. Pelosi's lined up behind Kamala Harris. Alex Soros has lined up behind Kamala Harris. Willie Brown has stood behind Kamala Harris several times. We know that the system has made its choice. So it's going to be Kamala Harris. It's going to be Dome. I know it. You know it. You better know it. It is. But here's the deal. Democrats have been rigging their primaries, their presidential primaries, for years, and their base is furious about it. Remember, they just really screwed Hillary Clinton out of the one where Barack Obama beat her in a primary. They changed all the rules to make sure Obama could win that one. They constantly changed the rules and mixed things up to deny Bernie Sanders the primary. They did that last time, the one Joe Biden won. Democrats always choose their candidate from up on high, and the candidate has already been chosen. It's Kamala Harris. The only debate we can have right now is who's going to be VP. But here's the deal. Democrats know they can't make it too obvious that Kamala Harris, that Dome, has already been chosen. So they're going to do this thing of, well, I'm going to try to earn the nomination, and we'll have like a mini primary at the convention, and they'll act like it's just, well, it's anyone's game here. It's not anyone's game here. It's Dome. It's already been Dome. You know that with the powers who have already lined up behind her. It's done, signed, sealed, delivered. And look, the media... they've got their marching orders, too. They, like every other man, is lined up behind Dome.
I'm going to be really straightforward. If the Democrats want to give the White House back to Donald Trump, let them go into a nomination process, open nomination process, and disrespect and step over the first black woman vice president in this country, and they will be committing absolute suicide. Absolute suicide. That is the surefire way for Donald Trump to become president.
Now, let's wrap this up because we have so much we have to get to. Buck Sexton's going to join us. He's got to eat a little crow. And Buck's such a great sport about this because we have a bet and he was wrong. Anyway, before we get to all that, let's wrap this thing up really quickly. We talk a lot about the system. We just had a long talk about the system, what they just did, pushed Joe Biden out, brought Harris in. We knew all that. People ask a lot, well, who's the system? Who's part of it? Well, first of all, understand the system is not one person. It's many, 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 many powerful people, most of them Democrats, almost all of them Democrats, billionaires, Democrat politicians. There's a committee, if you will, just like every communist country, we have a committee of people from tech billionaires to Nancy Pelosi types. But that's who I actually want to focus on here. There's a lot of reporting out now about what Nancy Pelosi was doing behind closed doors. And she pretty much threatened Joe Biden. Hey, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. And the easy way just left. Nancy Pelosi, she's on the board of directors for the system. Believe me, this is a very, very powerful, very ruthless woman. Been warning you about her for quite some time. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Buck Sexton is going to join me next. Before he does, I'm sure you want to call some people right now. I have no doubt you do. And I know what you want to say. I know you want to pick up the phone right now and you want to say, Mom, Jesse Kelly was right about everything. I know that's what you want to say. And I don't blame you. You should make that phone call or send a text or something. But who are you making that phone call with? Do you have Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile? You want to talk about the system? You know, these heads of these large corporations, they're card-carrying members of this evil system we live in now. Don't support them. Don't give them your business. Switch to PureTalk. Same 5G network, so you're not missing out on any service whatsoever. You're not dropping calls. You'll pay less. I pay half of what I used to pay. And you're supporting a cell phone company that shares and promotes your values. PureTalk.com/JesseTV is where you go to switch. We'll be back.
Old man Biden still has like a 1 in 1,000 shot of staying in, and I am not going to bend until I am broken, Jesse.
Clay, you're going to be the last guy on the island.
Isn't it adorable to watch him hang on to the final shred of hope? Buck, just let it go. Just let it go. No one's going to judge you. I mean, are we going to make fun of you? Yes. Are you going to be forced to buy me Red Lobster and tie a bib on me? Of course
there
you
are.
There
is the lobster bib.
That is the bet. That was the bet.
Yeah, I know.
You are already cooked, my friend.
You know, I can't tell you how much I respect my friend Buck Sexton. It's not just because of his history and the fact that he does one of the great radio shows in the country. It's that he was man enough to show up today. Instead of hanging his head in shame with how wrong he's been, he's here. Joining me now, my good friend Buck Sexton, host of course, the Clay and Buck Show. Buck, I'm going to be the bigger person, as you know I always am, and I'm certainly not going to rub anything in about the fact that I've been right this entire time and you've been wrong the entire time and you have to buy me dinner. I'm not even gonna bring that stuff up. I really respect that you're here, Buck. I respect you a lot.
Well, I'm certainly not gonna, at this last moment, show that on top of being wrong, I'm a huge wimp. So, but let me just say, there's a couple of things that need to be understood here, all right? And I just went through a 3-hour show with Clay over this where like, it was like the gloat-o-meter, like every 15 minutes you had to throw a little gloat in, you know? So Biden made it, and I'm actually mad at him. I'm mad at Biden. He made it to like the very last. It's like if he's running a marathon and he tapped out on mile 25. And we actually played some old audio from the show today from 2 years ago with Clay, where he was saying, oh, well, they're going to replace him at, they're going to replace Biden at, oh, wow. Wow.
Oh, sorry, Buck. I didn't realize they were going to put that up there. Sorry.
I'm the biscuit boy now? That's, damn. Okay. All right, look, I earned it. And you slouching as King Jesse, there's no, at least I love that the lobster is mine. That's really good. Your graphics team is good. That's solid. That's nice work. You know that an orange lobster is a real thing and it's like 1 in 30 million, fun fact. 1 in 30 million. So I can't promise Jesse I'll get him an orange lobster. Anyway, Biden, Jesse, was right there. He didn't get replaced after the midterms. He didn't get replaced at the start of the primary. There was no primary. 14 million Democrats voted for him. All the Democrats were going along with this. All the media was going along with this. But the idiots around him were like, let's have a debate really, really early. That'll turn things around. And I can say this now because it doesn't matter. I want to be like, no, you morons. Everybody knows he has dementia. They're all going to see it. What are you doing? I'm going to lose my bet. They blew a three-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter for the team, with the Biden team, Jesse. This is madness. And the even crazier part, Kamala Harris has no chance, zero, no chance of beating Donald Trump in this election. And so what? It's going to be somebody else now? They just all endorsed Kamala today. This is insane. I should have won my bet, but Democrats are morons.
They are morons, and actually, I really do. Honestly, we'll set aside the gloating portion now and get down to the nitty-gritty of it. I want your analysis on what you think happened, or at least what you think pushed this decision over the top. As you know, we still haven't heard from Joe Biden, which is really, really odd. Withdrawing from the race and not making yourself even seen alive is odd, and now theories are running wild, but we'll set that aside. Was it the Pelosi knifing? Was it the super PAC cutting off the money? What was the thing in your eyes that Team Biden find it out and said, you know, guys, it's over. Let's hang up our spurs. What was it?
I think they got people close to him who said, because let's be very clear, if it was Biden just doing what's best for the country, which is now the big narrative, that's the story, which is hilarious because Joe Biden only cares about himself. He would have done this a month ago. Like, why? Because it's not just about the extra humiliation that Biden got by dragging this out, which was unnecessary. He also takes time away from the other candidate. We know nothing now that's different than what we knew right after that debate, but he kept saying no. Jesse, did you see? The Biden campaign co-chair was on the Sunday shows, saying he's in. He's the guy. The decision has been made. A couple of hours later, Biden, I don't know, somebody tweets out on his X account, which we know he's not the only person who has access to it. Look, I don't have proof of this. So if you're asking for theories, I think that while Biden, and remember, he has COVID, that's what we've been told. COVID's actually dangerous to people in their 80s, just like a cold is dangerous to people in their 80s. So he's dramatically weakened. And I think that they may have just made this a fancy French words, Jesse, a fait accompli. They might have just decided to do it and then turn to him and be like, well, there's no turning back now, buddy. Like, I that's one component of it, that they basically pushed it forward and then just said, you can't change this around. The other thing would be, I think they might have said, do you want Jill to be, christening Biden, presidential library in 3 years or not? You know what I mean? I think they went for the what the legacy is financially for the family. And I think that that may be the offer that they made that offer he couldn't refuse. Because I'm telling you this, Joe Biden thought that he should stay in. And Joe Biden, from an electoral perspective, was not wrong. He's a better candidate, even with dementia, than Kamala is, which I think tells you a lot about Kamala.
Okay, well, yeah, it tells us all we need to know about Dome. But let's focus on that part of it really quickly, Buck. Why is he better? I don't understand the poll numbers. He's not a functional adult, and I realize how horrible she is. You and I have made fun of her many, many times. I get that, but how in the world could she possibly be pulling below the guy who's no longer a functional adult? I don't. A VP doesn't even do anything. Why is she so unpopular?
It was a big pulse. The big pollster just came out today that Harris is nationally registered voters 9 points behind Trump. Republicans haven't had points behind Trump is landslide. That is losing. That truly, if that is what happens, that's losing all the swing states plus New Jersey, New Mexico, Minnesota, Virginia. I mean, it is an absolute ass kicking. Okay. And that's what they just traded. They traded down. This is why I didn't think they would do it, but they're such hysterical nincompoops. And this is the thing. I think that you're going to see Kamala Harris is going to be going actually in the wrong direction. Why? But to answer your question, why is Biden more popular? Because people vote based on habit, and they vote based on how it makes them feel to support a certain brand. And Democrats know the Biden brand. They feel like his advisors are around him but at the end of the day, they know Joe, they trust Joe. Kamala Harris, no one trusts her, and no one thinks she's impressive. And I just think that at the end of the day, everyone's going to recognize that, as crazy as it sounds, the Democrats have made their terrible situation of a dementia patient as their nominee worse with the queen of DEI. It's very bad.
Okay, how do we lose in November, Buck? I'm not going to do what you and I have both done many times before, privately and publicly, get ahead of ourselves, count our chickens before they hatch, you know, pick whatever cliche you want to use. How do we lose this November, with the exception of theories, you know, like the Communist Party hacking into voting machines or something like that? Yeah, how do we lose this November? What am I not seeing?
The way I like to put this is, short of just massive cheating, and let me say this, if there is massive cheating and we don't catch it this time, and I mean catch it in a way that no one can, you know, that it's irrefutable to, then we just deserve to lose. And I would say if Donald Trump cannot defeat, think about what the Trump legacy could be. A 2020 loss to Biden and then a 2024. I mean, look, I think Trump is amazing right now and everything he's done, the party's unified, but it would really be the end of America as we know it as a political entity. Because if you can't beat Kamala Harris when she has 3 months to campaign with the most dynamic GOP nominee since Reagan, what are you doing? So if we can't win this one, we need to have like a real heart to heart as a party and as an ideology and as a country. Like, what is it? Why does the GOP even exist? That's how I frame it. So to me, it's not like, oh, great, we can win. It's if we can't win this, we can't win anything against anyone. It's a joke.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Buck, I can already taste those cheddar bays. They're going to taste so much sweeter since I'm not the one who is going to have to pay for them. I can't wait to have dinner with you, Buck. Oh, look at that. It's that graphic again. I didn't tell them to put it up there, Buck. They did that on their own. So I'll give you the last word. Of course, you've had a rough day.
It is.
Oh, never mind. I guess we just cut him off. Never mind. All right. Let's talk about Beam. Let's talk about a good night's sleep. I bet Buck's going to need a good night's sleep tonight after being so wrong and I'm so right while he was so wrong. He's probably going to be tossing and turning. But thankfully, if I know Buck, he's got some Dream Powder. Now, Dream Powder is amazing, not because it makes you sleep. There are a lot of things that'll make you fall asleep. Where Dream Powder really comes through is when you wake up. Because you take these things, no matter what they are, prescription, otherwise, to help you sleep, you wake up and you feel like crap, don't you? Every single time. Dream Powder is all natural, melatonin, things like that. It's just a cup of hot chocolate you sip on before bed. When you wake up, you feel like you're ready to go for a run. And I don't even like running. Go to shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. That gets you 40% off. We'll be back.
Our president, Joe Biden, wanted to be here today. He is feeling much better and recovering fast, and he looks forward to getting back on the road. And I wanted to say a few words about our president. Joe Biden's legacy of accomplishment over the past 3 years is unmatched in modern history. In one term, he has already, yes, you may clap.
You know, she's actually not wrong there. He has imported so many barbarians from across the planet that it's difficult to imagine us putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. In a lot of ways, Joe Biden is one of the great Democrats in U.S. history, if you're one of these evil demons who wants to burn the country down. Joining me now, my friend Steve Dace, host of the incredible Steve Dace Show. I listen myself. Steve, look, we could all mock these people because you know Joe Biden's a disaster. I know Joe Biden's a disaster. But if your interest is in the revolution, he's been very successful, a great four-year term.
You know, I've been saying this more and more the last few years. I just don't know how you share a culture with this. I don't know how you share a country with this. These are just not reconcilable worldviews, really, in any way, shape, or form. I know you've been a long advocate of national divorce. Jesse, I think these people are like Jehovah's Witnesses with tanks, okay? Like, the Jehovah's Witness always finds the most perfect Saturday every summer to bother the hell out of you, okay, by trying to get you to join the 44,000 that are saved, even though there's 4 million of them. So clearly their math is off in their own ranks to begin with, let alone before you start adding people, okay? But and then they just won't go away, you know, and it doesn't matter how you push back or you point out that the founder of their cult was a complete scam artist. They just blink 3 times and go right back to their script and their conditioning. That's what these people are like. I don't think they'd leave it, let us go. We have to be fixed, and they are here to fix us. As Obama said, they are the people that we have been waiting for. And so I just think the only way out of this is through. This is a steel cage match worldview-wise. We saw this in an open field in Pennsylvania 9 days ago, where somehow the guy who flunked out of the math club shimmied a wall with a rifle and got 150 yards for a clean shot at a presidential candidate when the sniper that took him out was 450 feet away. So they clearly had some extended perimeter. I don't know why it didn't apply to Mr. Crooks. Now they can't even tell us if he was the only shooter as of, this morning with the head of the Secret Service. I mean, the only way out is through. We're just going to have to defeat these people in what amounts to a cold civil war, because two worldviews have entered into this steel cage, brother, and only one of them's coming out.
That's a fact. Okay, let's deal with the nitty-gritty of Dome herself. For me, it looks quite simple. It looks quite obvious, but you oftentimes have a different perspective on things. It looks like she's very clearly been chosen by the system. The system wanted Joe gone. He's gone. Obama, Soros, or not Obama, I'm sorry, he's the one who hasn't, but Clinton's, Soros, Pelosi, Clyburn, you of course know what that means. The powers that be have already lined up behind Dome. It looks to me like it's obvious she's the chosen one. They can't come out and say that, but it's going to be her. Am I missing something?
No, I would add a little more nuance. I think she's getting a tryout right now. They're clearing the field for her. She's got 3 weeks between now and August 18th, the day before the convention, to show that she can carry this torch, that she can be enough of a credible construct. The whole goal here is to create a narrative where the polling is close enough that they can fortify the election. Again, they don't have that right now. Okay, so they need to get close enough that they can justify fortifying the election again. And so that's the whole goal here. She's got until August 18th. They're going to, and because if they have to pass her over, you want to avoid all the racialist cutting of and gnashing of teeth in their own base. And you show, hey, we gave her every break. We cleared the field. Everybody backed her. She just couldn't do it. And that's why we got to go with, you know, Josh Shapiro and Gretchen Whitmer as a ticket now to actually win. So it is likely she will be their candidate, but there's going to be an open convention, if for no other reason than they needed to win something, Jesse. They can't have Trump just stand up there and say for 4 months she was selected and not elected. They need to essentially contrive a pseudo primary. So it looks like she united the party together. She won this and got the blessing at the convention in order to create that narrative. And if she can't carry the torch and she's just the same queen of cringe as before, they'll either take her out or they'll just produce a bunch of polls post Labor Day that just show a convention bounce. They're not whatever happens. I promise you, they are not going to come out of Labor Day with the same crappy polling they have right now. So they will either get rid of her if they have to, or they'll just lie and make up polls, because they need a polling narrative to justify the fortification coming our way in November.
Okay, Steve, I just on a general level, I want to ask it this way. From the outside looking in, because I'm not a Democrat, I'm not part of that party, it looks like they went from the frying pan and into the fire, okay, meaning you already had one candidate. At some point in time, you do have to rely on your candidate to do certain things. They already had one who just couldn't do certain things. He couldn't talk. He couldn't debate. So it really screwed him over. But now you've jumped into another one. Now, she doesn't have the same identical problems he does. But this is a human being who is not personally likable. Every poll shows this. She's not capable in any way. So how are they going to get her across?
It may not even be about getting her across. With Joe Biden and the gaslighting of the country for years, and so you had a Jimmy Carter, Herbert Hoover concoction there, where both the policies are unpopular, but you as a brand are seen as incompetent. And when a party gets stained with that, I mean, the Republicans, it took them until they nominated maybe the greatest war hero this country's produced since Washington to be their nominee before they won a national election again after Hoover. That from 1976 until 1992, the Democrats did not win another national election because of the stain of Jimmy Carter. They had to completely rebrand what Reagan did to their party after that. When you suffer a 32 or 80 level defeat, it has so many layers that you need to reinvent yourself. At least now, they keep a lot of their racial coalition together. For example, if Kamala Harris had been the Democratic nominee this entire time, a black female porn star with more followers than than even the biggest conservative media influencers would not have spoken at that convention last week. The president of the Teamsters would not have spoken at that convention last week. You could have not have dared cross the ideological party picket line because you would have violated the coalition ethos and been considered anywhere from an Uncle Tom in the case of the black porn star to a racist in the case of the Teamsters president. But the destabilization and the acceleration of Biden's dementia provided people enough air cover to break ranks because of his obvious incompetence. So they at least can police their people now. They can rein the herd back in with the racial stuff. Every black woman is going to make sure in America that the black men that voted 1 out of 5 for Trump in 2020 don't dare do that again. Otherwise, we're going to introduce you to a couch or the curb. This at least allows them to rein back in their existing coalition. I would still favor Trump to win, but I think you would now look at a win similar to what Trump did in 2016 than a 30 state kind of loss they were looking at with Joe Biden as the figurehead.
Okay, Team Trump, from purely from a campaign analytical standpoint, how do you feel so far? I'll be honest with you, they look really solid to me so far. They look disciplined. They look on message. It looks like a campaign that's quite professional so far, but do you see it that way?
For the most part, I do. And I think that I've not said that a lot in his era. But this is a candidate that is tailor-made for him. In that, as an opponent, if it is her, because the thing that the devil hates the most is to be mocked. And if there's one thing you can count on Trump doing effectively, it is mocking. And her negatives are already going to be very high. The best way to counter everybody's racist narrative is to go after her as just not a legitimate figure, a cringe figure. The Veep comparisons, all that kind of stuff is very devastating. That's right in Trump and his core memeing MAGA base's wheelhouse. And this is one time that I think this was actually the perfect opponent to do that against above the surface, to never take her as a serious person at all, so that other people now feel as if, you know, swing voters feel as if, you know what? Yeah, you're right. She's not serious, and I'm tired of being called a racist, and I'm not falling for that again. If you let them make her into a serious person, then the racial idolatry stuff really stings people. If she's a clown, then it's just part of the overall shtick that you're rejecting. So on messaging, she fits right in his wheelhouse. What I am concerned about, though, is that this idea, though, that this thing is over. Let me just be this very blunt about this. Kamala Harris let a lot of men get on top of her to get where she's at. She's now on top of all of those men, Jesse. Do not underestimate the spirit of Jezebel she has. Do not underestimate the guile. She has Trump-like guile. She's not as clever as he is. She's not as charismatic as he is. But just as Trump has a guile that there's certain things that most men would just be ashamed of and walk away out of embarrassment, and Trump just goes on, even beyond his own detractors' attempts to kill him, just goes on, you know, his own stuff that people would be embarrassed to buy. He just can't be bothered. She is like that. And so that level of ambition, do not underestimate that. And under the surface, I would run a campaign against her like she was Barack Obama. I'd make sure organizationally all of my ducks were in a row. I don't want to be Hillary Clinton the day after the election asking why, how come I never went to Wisconsin?
Yeah, no doubt about it. She is a freaking clown too. Face paint and everything. Steve, thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate you. All right. We're going to talk to Congressman Bruchette in a moment, one of the good ones. That Secret Service thing today, that hearing, it was bad. Look, it was bad as in our country's in a really bad place. We're going to talk to him about that. Before we do that, I want to talk to you about this. See that? That's a little K-cup. Blackout coffee. All right, I'll just give it to you straight. It's the greatest coffee I've ever had. They deliver it to me. They deliver you your coffee. They promote our values. They don't just share your values and my values behind closed doors. Oh, don't talk about that. It's unpopular. They talk about God publicly, life, guns, country, I'm so adamant about only spending my money with companies who share my values anymore. And that's Black Op Coffee. But they also, they have options. At home, I'm a whole bean guy. I want to grind the coffee. I know I'm that guy now. I want to grind the coffee up. So that's where they send me whole bean. Here, the studio, we have one of those K-Cup machines. And they have those too. Endless options. 20% off your first order. BlackoutCoffee.com/Jesse gets you that 20% off. So go get some. We'll be back.
The Secret Service's solemn mission is to protect our nation's leaders. On July 13th, we failed. As a director of the United States Secret Service, I take full responsibility for any security lapse of our agency.
Wow. She takes full responsibility. I'm curious what that looks like, though. Joining me now, he sits on the House Oversight Committee, great congressman from the state of Tennessee, Congressman Tim Burchett. Congressman, she takes full responsibility, and that is inspiring. What does that mean, though?
Doesn't mean anything. She's going to get her 30 years in, and she'll retire. They're not going to do anything to her. She needs to be gone. I said, ma'am, you shouldn't resign. You should have been fired. She is a DEI horror story. It is the worst of the worst. And this is what you get. This is the generation of everybody gets a trophy is promoting these people. And it's a disgrace. The whole thing. I mean, if you look, Trump shouldn't even been allowed on that stage when they heard that. I've been at these things before. You know, a balloon pops and everybody's like, whoop. We're not going out. There's a person of interest. They're not going out. They don't let them go out and then bring them back in. This thing was bad from the start. It stinks. And, you know, they alluded there's no conspiracy. Well, by them not giving us information, that makes it a conspiracy. And the swamp, or what I don't like calling it a swamp is something pretty cool. This is an open sewer up here. They hate Donald J. Trump.
Congressman, you were in that hearing today. We were not. You had a chance to ask her questions, talk to her today. I did not. There are, as you pointed out, a lot of theories out there. I don't even want to call them conspiracy theories anymore. But there are a lot of theories out there, and there are a lot of things that make me uncomfortable. I don't have a theory because I don't know the truth yet. But I can't ask anyone I trust for the truth. The Secret Service lies. The FBI lies. The media lies. Democrats lie. The Biden White House lies. So is that really where we're stuck now as Americans, where I just have to sit at home and come up with theories about a second shooter on the grassy knoll because I don't have any government institution that will be honest with me? Is that where I am now?
Yes, sir. That's where you're at right now. And that's what happens when 20 million so-called conservatives decide to stay home. This experiment they're playing on the American people right now with these liberal woke policies, this is exactly what we've gotten because of that. We've got a mediocre director who's, and honestly, I don't care, man, woman, well, I don't care if you're a pink unicorn. If you can't do the dadgum job, you shouldn't be there. And these folks can't do the job, and they continuously do this stuff, and it needs to change. And I hope people, their anger and dissatisfaction with our government and what's going on, we'll go out and vote, not just at the federal level, but dadgum our state and local levels, these school boards and this mindless garbage they're pushing out to our kids these days. It's just got to stop or we're going to lose our country. This is it. This is that turning point that we are at in America. If we do not address the problems with this election, it's over. Because they know they got a green light on all this crazy stuff. We sort of slow them down a little bit now, but man, it'll be like my daddy used to say, Grant through Richmond. They'll be going through us like a dose of salts.
My dad used to say that exact same thing to me when I was a kid. Okay, you know what? Let's focus on that really quickly because there was a hearing today, and I'm glad there was a hearing. It's important oversight. It's important to get this information out to the public, but it's a frustrating cycle from the outside looking in that these people do something horrible, usually criminal. They get dragged in front of the GOP. GOP asks some tough questions. They answer every question with, I'm not going to answer that question. That's essentially what they say. And then when it comes time to fund these corrupt agencies, they bully the same GOP into funding them in full, oftentimes giving them raises. Therefore, there are no consequences whatsoever for saying, well, I can't comment on an ongoing investigation. How do we break that cycle? Because until that cycle changes, nothing changes.
Quit electing people that are compromised. We know the Democrats are, a lot of them are literally Marxist. They're not even hiding it anymore. But the problem I've got, and that's, you know, that's the way they're going to be. The problem I've got is these Republicans, you know, they go home and they preach, they throw out the red meat at the Reagan Day, Lincoln Day, and now the MAGA dinners or whatever about all the stuff they're going to do and stop Nancy Pelosi. And they get up here and what do? They vote. They vote with the Democrats. They cut deals with them. They'll pass these 2,000-page bills. They'll read down to about page 32, and then they'll see where they got what they want, their sweetheart deal or their little project for their K Street lobbyists that they promised, or their wife or girlfriend's job, is it, or both, as the case so many times is funded in this bill. And then they stop reading. And that's why we're $35 trillion in debt. This compromise is the reason we don't control the Panama Canal. It's the reason that our border is overflowing, because we don't have the guts to do anything about it. This, we ought to be, I signed on to a bill that decreases this lady's pay to $1 a year. But you watch. Nobody, they won't have the guts to pass that thing. And if it gets to the Senate, they won't even bring it up, because we don't have the guts to pressure them, call them out for it. Man, I'm telling you guys, it's later than you think. This is it.
How many Republicans do you think are compromised? I see it all the time now. When you look at this congressman, and he's got, you know, normally a pretty good voting record, and then he just bombs one, just totally bombs a vote. And every single time now I look and I think, well, someone's got a file on this guy.
I agree. Well, I've been told of, you know, I was on another guy's podcast. It was pretty popular. And I mentioned that. I talked about the compromise, how people get compromised. And dadgummit, the next week, if there wasn't a prostitution ring that was busted in Washington, D.C., it was a Chinese prostitution ring, which who else is, you know, who owns us more than the communist Chinese right now? But dadgummit, and then the article came out and it said they had these three groups. It had big time people in the community. It had government contractors. So that's your Pentagon group probably, and some of these others, and it said elected officials. And then what happened the next week? It just went black. Nothing out on it. It's just like the Epstein Island deal, all that other stuff, man. And I'm sick of it. And you know, it's not just the sex stuff, and it's not paying them off, you know, under the table. It's over the table. You need to find out where these people's families work. Because a lot of times that has a lot to do with it. The wife and or the girlfriend works for somebody making six figures, you know, for dust in an office or something. It's just, it's too much, man. It is too much. These guys are, they come in here, you know, like me, don't have a lot of money, and they leave, and they're very substantial.
Congressman, do you believe this assassin acted alone?
No, I do not. I don't believe it. I don't know if there's another shooter or not. You better listen to the words she said. They didn't ask, you know, there's two different trains of thought. Was there another shooter, or did he act alone? Now, I mean, somebody could have drove him there. Somebody could have loaned him something. Somebody could have told him where to go. Somebody could have pointed him in the direction he needed to go that was just an innocent bystander. But how does a 20-year-old kid with a high-powered rifle walk across, park a van, has explosives in his van, has overseas, at least three overseas accounts that we know of, has a, gets on a building, fires at the man who will likely be our next president of the United States, and this is the top security in the world. Not in Pennsylvania, not in America, but in the world. And you got this doesn't happen. And the problem is the kid's head got blown off. I'm glad they killed him, honestly. But, you know, dead men tell no tales. And it's always the same story. Saran Saran, he was a loner, nut. Oswald, loner, nut. Who killed Martin Luther King? Well, crap.
James Earl Ray.
Anyway, yeah, James Earl Ray. And, you know, and Oswald used a gun. It's called a Mannlicher. It's a, or Mannlicher. It's a, it's an Italian carbine. And it was written up as a gun that never won a war. Saran Saran, that deal, that's screwed up. Martin Luther King was shot. The guy had 1 foot on a commode and 1 foot in a bathtub, had to lean over to make this shot. I mean, the whole thing. Look, you know, they're always a lone gunman on their own until they're not, until we find out they're not. They still won't release the Kennedy files. It's over 60 years. Now, who in the hell is alive even in that stuff? It would show a compromise is what it, I believe. It would show a compromise somewhere. Somebody was compromised. And quit telling me it doesn't exist, because there's no earthly reason for all this stuff to happen.
No doubt about it. Congressman, thank you so much for what you do. Please come back soon. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
What a mess we have, huh? All right. We have Light in the Mood. Next. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to miss Joe. Not as president and ruining the country and all those other things, but Joe has been soundbite gold for quite some time. But I'm a little bit excited to venture into the world of Dome. And I've been talking about this woman for a very long time as well.
Are you surprised to learn that Kamala Harris, if that's what she's going by, is like the worst boss in Washington and nasty to the people who work for her?
It's the most predictable thing in the world, Tucker. Everybody watching you right now has worked for or worked with somebody who just has ambition just dripping off of their pores. And that's Kamala Harris. Those types of people will do anything to get ahead. They treat their bosses like crap. They treat their employees like crap. That's why she knifed Joe Biden in the debate with all that race nonsense. There was no need to do that. It's the same reason she cackles like a dead hyena every time she's asked an uncomfortable question. It's the same reason she started out her political career as Willie Brown's bratwurst bun. Kamala Harris will do anything to get ahead.
Back when I had hair. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.